Welcome to the Permaculture Pimp Cast with your host, the Permaculture Pimp Daddy and the Pasture Raised Pimp. Get your recommended daily allowance of permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. Tip a pimp. Stay alert, stay alive. Permaculture is my passion. Welcome to episode 123 of the Permaculture Pimp Cast, the only pimp cast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. And remember, PIMP stands for Permaculture is my passion. How you doing, son?
Pretty good. How are you?
Good, y'all. Father and son team over here. And we're knocking it out of the park every episode we try to anyway, right here in this Permaculture Pimp Cast. But it's brought to you, as always, by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com.
Turn that simp into a pimp.
Bam! Also, Heaven's Harvest, y'all, 10% off with promo code PERMA. Get all your permaculture and, well, your preparedness needs over there. And especially you folks right now down in Florida and all those southern states, because I got a feeling it's going to be a long year down there. And we'll cover more of that a little bit later. But in terms of Heaven's Harvest, y'all, all the things you can't source yourself, all the things you can't make through your Harvest Right freeze dryer, which, by the way, we have a link for down below, all those things you can't do yourself, or maybe you're having a hard time sourcing, you might want to check them out for that. They got ballin' seeds. We use them, and they are doing very, very well down the hill right now. And if you'd like to tip a pimp, go check us out on the Fountain app. You can listen to all your podcasts over there, and if you would like, you can drop a little set on a PIMP. That's how we roll. All right, so let's jump straight into the farm news. Well, y'all, it's been, man, there's so much I could get into here, but I can't get into all of it. But I'll tell you what's been happening today, and we haven't discussed any of this. In fact, we discuss almost nothing about what we're going to talk about among ourselves. Now, I do the show prep, but I intentionally don't say anything to him because, really, it's a double-edged sword. In radio, you learn that it drives you absolutely nuts when you have somebody in the studio with you. And then when you go to commercial break and then you find out what they really say and what they hear, then when you come back from break, there's no way to ever capture it again. So we try not to tip off each other too much about what we're going to talk about before this podcast, because we don't want to lose any of the good stuff on a break.
Right.
And yeah, it happens every single time in radio. In fact, I had to kind of institute this policy, like, hey, we don't talk during the break. We don't say anything to each other. Save it for the radio. And that's exactly what we do here. So I'm going to ask you, son, right off the bat. Okay. I had it in my wheelhouse today to make more compost extract. Yeah. And I was going to stick it out there in the pasture, going to get all that done. Now, first weather report I got, it was supposed to be raining cats and dogs from 1 o'clock. From about 1 o'clock until 5, and then was going to be a break, and then from 7 to 8. What did you observe? Because I haven't asked you this.
Okay. Well, like as far as what did I see on my weather app?
Yeah. I mean, it could be about this or
anything
else.
I checked this morning while we were all drinking coffee. There was no chance of rain until like after sunset. There wasn't a single chance of rain on my weather app till after sunset.
Okay, well.
And we're in the same doggone location. We're in the same house.
Yeah, your mom had a different thing altogether too, because I was really, really, really checking the weather because I'm trying to go get the last of these blueberries at this place where we go, because we haven't had a chance to go this year. And typically by this time, the picking's all done. Well, we got roughly until about September 2nd to get it done. And we were linking up with Ben and Denise to try to find a good time to go do that.
From Renewed Homestead.
Right, from Renewed Homestead. Go check them out on YouTube. Well, I'm in here. We were planning on like Tuesday, and then I'm like looking at the weather app, and I'm like, well, bro, it looks like it's going to be raining. Why don't we shoot for Thursday? And I kid you not, all of a sudden the weather did a 180, and it was threatening rain all day, saying it was going to rain. We had a few drops here and there.
Here?
Yeah.
But oh, it rained? I mean, not like enough to fill up ponds or anything like that, but it rained like enough.
Yeah. How long?
Oh, I don't even know.
Yeah. That's my point, is that they were sitting here making it out, because they'll even tell you on the rain gauge on these apps. Point is, y'all, they're playing games with us. They're playing with the weather. They're doing all this different stuff because I'm sitting here trying to work within the raindrops thinking, okay, I got to work with the rain to see about this extract.
Well, here is a, like a very, being in the mountains like where we are, I don't even know why they attempt to predict the weather. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you have a general like, idea of what it's going to do because we have all these microclimates. You could have torrential downpours an eighth of a mile away from you.
Literally at the stop sign just up the road, it could be raining. And here it's doing absolutely nothing.
Yeah. So it's just one of those things, man. I mean, with not only the weather app, but I'm hearing this stuff, even in people, even with people that don't live in an environment like this, where it's hilly, it's mountainous, you get all these different microclimates, which of course is going to play games with the rain, but it's happening to everybody everywhere. And it's beyond coincidence at this point. But we'll cover maybe a little bit more of that later. Okay, so other homestead. Well,
on that same note, every time Emily and I check the Weather Channel app together, it's always, like, there's always a variance. There's always a variance. Like, there was one time we checked together, and hers was identical, except for everything was 1 degree off, just to mess with us.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they're checking. They're doing everything through these apps, y'all. We have our own, you know, you don't need the NSA listening in. I mean, they've been doing it since 96 under the Telecommunications Act. I mean, they're listening to everything you say. And we've gotten to the point where it's really nobody even seems to care anymore.
Yeah.
So, all right. So other farm news. Wow. Thinking about busting a move on some different methods around here. Let me kind of lay this out. Okay. As we've talked about before, we're making a whole lot of compost. And right now, once again, Ben and Denise came to the rescue regarding I needed their poop, and specifically their animal poop. So between their farm and ours and another place, man, I got, dig this, man, I need this for compost, okay? So I got rabbit, chicken, turkey, sheep, cow, about to get some camel. Yeah, so I never make compost out of that. Whole variety. I mean, and the more you can get, the better your compost, the better. This is one of the things that Carl Hammer teaches through his methods is that you want this, and also Elaine Ingham and a number of others, you want a wide diversity of materials. But when it comes in the poop department, many people just only have access to a few. Certainly not seven, you know, like I'm going to have before it's all said and done. So
that'd be cool if you could get access to a zoo or something like that.
Well, no, it wouldn't be because I've already looked into that a while back. And the problem with them is they vax those animals like they're going out of style. Oh, they'd all be dead if they didn't shoot them up. I mean, it's really sickening. Sense. It's kind of sickening because it's such an unnatural environment. Man, they're shooting them guys up with everything you can imagine. Mm. Man, I'd love to make some compost out of some elephant poop.
Some giraffe poop.
Yeah. I mean, you imagine, dude, you'd probably get some really great stuff. But
it wouldn't take many elephants either.
No, it wouldn't. No, I mean, I've seen elephant poop. Yeah, it wouldn't take much. But yeah, they got to constantly shoot those guys up. So anybody who's thinking about zoos or whatever, maybe try to avoid that. But one of the moves we're going to bust around here is that through the winter, and we've done this before, but through the winter, we're going to basically run our chickens on a different system altogether. And we're going to do a more stationary version of a chicken tractor on steroids, I think, to some extent or another.
Yeah.
And we're going to do this with some scrap materials that we currently have. Now, we just have the book Scrapsteading that just came out, by the way. And
it's linked down below.
Yep. We'll have that link down below. We've talked about it on the YouTube channel, which, by the way, is number one on Amazon in its category. So, yeah, whoever figured the permaculture pimp daddy would be a, well, not New York Times, but an Amazon bestseller author. I mean, wow. Thanks, y'all, for everybody that bought it out there. But,
good job.
Yeah, but basically taking some of the methods we have listed in that book and to make something of our version of a racking house. Son, you want to tell them what that is?
It's Joel Salatin's method of combining chickens and rabbits. So you have your rabbit hutches up above. They're elevated, I think, like 4 feet or so. Whatever is an easy working height for you. And then you have your chickens down below, and the rabbits poop down. The chickens go through it and till it into whatever kind of carbon source you have. And then you just keep doing that all winter until you get the bedding that you need.
And speaking of the carbon source, well, remember, this is going boomeranging right back to the compost, is that if I could have my chicken and rabbit from something that we already have right here.
Yeah.
We have the chicken and rabbit that's in-house, ready to rock and roll. And I know for a fact that it's sitting on a bed of straw that I know wasn't sprayed, because that's always going to be your link. Folks, that's where I'm really encouraging so many of you. If you're making these piles, and look, you have got to be thinking about doing this stuff in these times, making your own stuff, because you're not, you can't rely on the fertilizer, okay? This is a relatively new concept since largely World War II. Nobody ever really worried about fertilizing anything outside of compost because you don't need it. David Johnson, Dr. David Johnson, basically proved in so many different ways, and so many others have as well, that you don't need all of these outside inputs that everybody tells you you do. So the idea being, right here on this farm, you know, we can get pigs, sheep, chicken. We're in kind of a holding pattern right now for a whole variety of reasons that we're not willing to talk about just yet. But the point being is that when you're working and doing this kind of work and you're making this stuff, you want it as local as possible. Now, I'm thankful Ben and Denise don't give their animals any junk. Yeah. They live nearby, but it's even going to be better if I'm raising these animals. Plus, you know, having some rabbits up here is another meat source.
Yeah, I think we should get some rabbits here soon. I've been wanting to get rabbits, though. I've been excited about those. But the downside of them is that I can eat a few of them at a time.
Well, there is that. But more than anything, they're really not, you know, for what you're going to get out of them, it's really one of those homestead things that you really ought to think about putting back in terms of preparedness. I mean, you get so much meat out of a rabbit in terms of, I mean, you get
like a breeding pair.
Yeah, you get a breeding pair, man. You could really, really put some meat on the table. And then, you know, what can you do with the pelts? What can you do with the guts? I mean, obviously, that's all stuff that's going to wind up in the compost anyway. It's only going to make it better. So,
well, the pelts, I mean, you can do like another income source with the pelts, or you can, I mean, do value added products with the pelts, whatever.
Ooh, rabbit's getting old, baby. That's all right. That's all right. We'll tear off another piece, make some earrings, you know, coordinate. Yeah, a lot of you folks ain't going to get that joke. But anyway, yeah, we'll just go ahead and use those rabbits for, I mean, like the pelts, obviously, it wouldn't be so swell to compost those.
Right.
You got a better use for them. Yeah.
They're warm.
Yeah, but their poop, along with the chicken poop in straw that is clean, is already halfway there on what I need for composting. So we're going to try to set up another method altogether with some of that. And we're going to do that primarily through the winter, because if you can, you want to try to get your chickens out of your pastures if you can, because they're going to, I mean, it may still recover, but it's going to set you back. And it's one less chore you got to do through the winter too. So, you know, that's something else we're going to develop here as well. So that's also some other farm news. Had a conversation, son. I'm going to call this farm news. It's a little bit out there. I'm not going to say the guy's name. He called me up out of the blue. I haven't talked to him in a while. And his claim to fame before this conversation, as I knew him, I even interviewed him probably 2 years ago on our YouTube channel. And he did, I thought, the most hard-hitting, factual documentary series, really, on 9/11 of anybody I've ever seen.
Right.
Calls me up out of the blue, and he's like, hey, man, you think you could take that interview down? And I was like, yeah, sure. I mean, I said, what's going on? He says, well, the problem is, man, I'm trying to get my life back. And even though he's a fantastic video editor, has all kinds of work under his belt, he can't get a job anywhere. Because anytime anybody Googles his name, it pops up with, you know, the work that he's done. It's not salacious anything. I mean, he's done some really actual awesome work. And they're dogging this guy for videos and interviews and all these things that he's done from years back.
Yeah.
And he did, in my opinion, the most consequential video on 9/11 that I think I'd ever seen. It was 3 hours long. It was extremely comprehensive. Had the work of Dr. Judy Wood and a number of others out there. And, I mean, good night, man. It didn't get a lot of worldwide acclaim, but it was without a doubt the best I had ever seen. So the point being is that all these things you do on the internet, folks, I'm saying this is not anything to do with farm news, but I felt like I had to put it out there. There's going to be a consequence to all of us for everything you did or failed to do, let's say, on the internet.
Well, I would say, yeah, the ones that failed to do, I think, is the more surprising part, I think, to people. Yeah. Like the, because there's a whole lot of people, like everybody's thinking, okay, I can remember this incident, and this incident of whenever these people did this on the internet. Well, there's a whole lot of people who are in positions of, like, you know, a bunch of eyes, I guess, that didn't do a lot of things this past couple years.
Well, you know, I will also say, too, that the things you think you're doing in private, because he and I had a discussion on this, boy, the stuff, you know, there's, let's be honest out here, man, there's a lot of people doing things with these phones, or maybe you're looking at stuff you ain't got no business looking at, or maybe you're involved in who knows what. I mean, granted, if you're a pedophile in the wood chipper, you ought to go anyway.
Yeah, go ahead and raise your hand.
Yeah, yeah. But the point being is that no matter what you think you're doing in private, y'all, every single keystroke you make, why do you think they built that giant facility the NSA did out there in Bluffdale, Utah? Why do you think they did that? The number one reason is because they are keeping tabs on every keystroke that every one of us does. So all of you people that are thinking, well, I haven't done anything. Well, you haven't done it publicly, but what are you searching? If they were to query your history,
right,
what are they going to find? You know, and this guy is eating large quantities of crap all these years later, can't find himself a job. Because it's like the word's been put out on this guy, like, oh, no, he's done too much work on 9/11. He's done a whole lot of, I mean, y'all, he has put out some unbelievable documentaries. And, I mean, we're second to none regarding so many things and can't seem to get himself a job. Look, this social credit score, it knows everybody's number. So if you think you're going to be one of these people that, oh, well, when it comes, well, I haven't done anything. I haven't been running my mouth like Billy and William.
Yeah, I was just thinking ours is screwed.
Well, no. Well, and that's exactly, I've done this full well. It was like what I learned early on when I became an electrician. You know, doing the right thing doesn't mean you keep your job. And saying the right thing, or what I know to be right, or standing up for the right thing, I mean, what do you think, y'all? They're going to get to you last?
Yeah, I mean, this better work, because we can't find jobs after this.
Actually, that's
brought
not
up the USS Liberty too much.
Yeah, well, I could definitely find jobs. I mean, and there's no, you know, there's a thing for being self-employed, but it's getting to that point where I just had to point this story out. I didn't mean to spend that much time on it, but I want to let everybody know that every single thing. It's a deeper conversation, more than I can go into right now, but the podcast you listen to, the shows you watch,
the things you liked.
Yes.
Yeah.
All the things that you think you're doing in secret, they have a dossier on every single human being out there. And the conversation I had with this guy, the extent to which would knock your socks off. I'm not going to go any deeper into it right now, but it is crazy. All right. So we're going to move on to some other stuff. Well, man, I don't know. I know we got a full blood super blue moon coming up here on my birthday on August 30th, right?
Oh, what?
Yeah, it's like
it's super, a full blood super blue moon.
Yeah, this is like the biggest they get, man. It's like 15% bigger, and at least appears that way. And man, I saw some stuff today that just floored me. I had to go drop off packages. I had to go do some errands and whatever. And I'm pulling into this grocery store because I had to get a couple of things. And as I'm pulling in there, there's like a lady that overshot the turn to get into the.
Yeah.
And she's just standing there. I mean, like in the turning lane, and everybody is backed up. Like, am I seeing this?
Yeah.
And then I get up in there, and then, you know, weird stuff in the parking lot that you just don't see every day. Your mom and I, when we were out this weekend, saw the same exact thing. It was. She had to run by Walmart, which we hate going by, but I definitely ain't going by Target, so Walmart is going to have to be for certain things.
Right.
Man, I'm telling her, I didn't even put two and two together. When she comes out of that Walmart, I'm sitting out here people watching like nothing I've ever seen before. It was like there was weird on a level of display that I don't know that I've ever seen, and I mean, good night.
Well, was it Sunday? I don't think I talked about it on the podcast. Or was it Saturday? Yeah, I walked down. Emily and I were downtown.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I thought we already talked about it. Yeah, speaking of weird, Emily and I went to downtown Asheville to go to their, it's one of the farmers markets. There's a ton of farmers markets on Saturday mornings, like in this area. And then I have to continue walking after we go through the farmers market because I have to do my outdoor workout, which was 45 minutes. And I still had like 30 minutes left or something like that. So we're walking up downtown, and then we're coming up from a different angle where you're not usually going through all the main shops and stuff like that. And then we walk past where the Vance Monument used to be. which was this huge obelisk, which I'm sure will come up in a future show or something like that. And then there's this sign, and it's written in, like, it looks like I wrote it with my left hand. That's what it looks like. And it says, "We'll sing all night, need weed, and something about being naked." And then I look over there, and there's a whole gang of very large people just naked.
Right across, and the cops are just right across the street.
They've
done nothing.
Asheville police station's not, it's just down the road. And then there's people walking by with their kids. And it's like everybody who is naked is the exact opposite of the person who should be like publicly naked. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, I mean, maybe they would be doing some lascivious nonsense anyway. But I mean, I don't know if it's the full moon. I don't know what's going on.
It's like they're forcing you to look at something.
Yeah, well.
It's like I don't know how to explain it, but that's what the feeling was.
I'm to the point now, if I see anything like that, man, I'm going to lose it. I've already made up my mind. You're going to hear it from me, and I don't care who cares. If you're out there, you got kids walking around here, you want to do something else. If y'all want to go out there and you freakazoids want to go get naked in your own backyard, man, you do what you got to do. But when you start messing with kids, man, I'm just going to make myself very, very, very unpopular. I'm not even going to put up with it anymore. But the problem is when you come across stuff like this, it hits you. It smacks you so badly. You don't even know.
Yeah. You keep like looking over like is this am seriously I seeing this? Like your brain doesn't even compute that this person doesn't have a shirt on.
No, it's crazy. It's crazy. So some, other things to keep a lookout on, y'all. Good night. We got this hurricane. Got two of them, actually. We got one that's churning out there. They're saying it's going to just kind of skirt the U.S. We'll see about that. And then the other one, it looks like it's going to walk across Florida. And the funny thing is about this time last year, I remember we were going to Self-Reliance Festival, me and your mom. And it was at the same time where that hurricane went right over Florida and stalled right above one of the potash plants where they created a type of fertilizer down there. I'm just wondering, folks, you'll have to go to geoengineeringwatch.org to find out for sure. Or my buddy Steve, he could tell you. I wonder if...
You want to give out Steve's email?
No, dude. He'd come looking for you. Ain't no doubt about that. I'm telling you what, if this thing stalls, first of all, it's happening on the super blue moon, whatever's happening on August 30th. That's going to be Wednesday, right? You got this hurricane coming in. Most earthquakes and stuff happen when the moon, within certain days around a full moon and stuff like that. You got a big one here. So who knows what other crazy stuff may go down. And I'm thinking it might be an earthquake. Who knows, whatever. And it could be something they contrive altogether.
There was that small one in California just not too long ago.
Right when the hurricane was hitting there.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's just see what happens. As this goes across Florida, let's see if there's an earthquake somewhere else. But I'm also wondering if we're going to see that same phenomenon that happened with Hurricane Harvey, where it does something that hurricanes have never done in the history of ever looking at hurricanes, and that is for some reason they just sit there and stall. Meanwhile, every HAARP facility around there is all shooting energy waves in certain ways to steer these storms, which we know they could do. They could do ever since Operation Popeye in Vietnam. So, I mean, look, we need to pray for these folks, y'all, because, I mean, we're going to get into it in the bad news section, and then we're going to talk about some good news stuff, but there's a lot of weird stuff going on out there, and a lot of it is contrived and controlled. Now, we got a new one to add here. We got the Mountain Readiness Fallout Festival. That's going to be happening October 20th through the 22nd, right here in North Carolina. Did an interview with one of the people involved there, my man T. And don't forget also, Kentucky Sustainable Living, October 28th and 29th. I'm going to be at both of them. And I'm going to encourage everybody, if you can, get out there and go to these things. Both festivals, unbeknownst to the other, is actually doing a fundraiser, a VIP dinner, if you will, to benefit. One's going to be for Caleb House, and that's through my man Bear Independent. And the other one, and that's going to be the one that's happening at Mountain Readiness. And the other is going to be at Kentucky Sustainable Living. So go check out both websites, y'all. I'm going to be at both of them. If you can make both of them, wonderful. Every time we go to these things, it's almost like a reunion for all of us to kind of go to these things generally. So
I won't be because Emily's pushing out my baby.
Yeah, so there's going to be that going on. So, Yeah, he won't be there, but I will. Michelle will, at least in the mountain readiness fallout. So before we get into Pastor Lon, y'all, I want to make sure you don't let all this dumb stuff that's going on right now deter you from checking out some of these things where you're going to get some valuable information, some valuable contacts, and all these things. Look, nobody's paying me to say this, y'all. I don't get paid to go to these things. I'm asking you to go out there and do it because, honestly, this is a party with a purpose. These people are doing wonderful stuff. So with that said, we'll get on to the homesteading pastor.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Lon. I got one verse of scripture for you tonight. It's in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. It says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." As John spoke these words back in his day, and there were many false prophets back then, and the spirit of Antichrist was already in the land back then. You can read on down in these other verses after this verse 1. And it talks about if any spirit confesses that Jesus Christ has already come in the flesh, that's of God. You can believe it. For those that say he has not, that's not of God. You cannot believe them. So we used to look at TV evangelists as being the main false prophets that we see. But now we can look in our local communities, unfortunately, and you find false prophets standing behind pulpits all over this land. Main reason is they cowered down to big government, and they're being bought by the almighty dollar to preach a false gospel for physical prosperity upon this earth and financial gain. But I want to encourage you, study the Word of God, the infallible Word of God. It's always true. If you want to find the truth, look into the Word of God. And if you want to know if somebody's telling you a lie, you have to know the truth first. So I encourage you, study the Word of God and know the truth, because the truth will make you free.
Bam! Homesteading pastor, y'all. Go check him out on YouTube. Boy, he said a mouthful right there,
yeah,
man.
Did.
I mean, as far as, I tell you what, man, one of my biggest things are these prostitute pastors that are in the pulpits.
He just gave you the Holy Spirit trivia.
Man, I'm telling you what, it's the thing that burns me up are these guys. Oh man. I mean, okay, if you want to be self-help, that's fine, but don't call yourself a pastor, man. If you're out here, and it's usually these mega congregations, but that's not all of them. I mean, there's some local, just like Pastor Lon says, yeah, man, there's a lot of them that are nothing more than hirelings. I mean, they're out there to go collect a check, man. And then, you know, in their off time, they're doing some stuff that you wouldn't think a pastor would be a part of.
Yeah. Yeah, they are.
Yeah. I remember, boy, I could tell you some stories, especially some black churches back in Oklahoma where, oh my goodness, this one, real quick, man, this one pastor was busted at an illegal gambling thing, liquor, hookers, drugs, you name it. I mean, all of it up in there. And then he gets back on the sermon. First thing he teaches is do not judge. I'm like, are you kidding me? And the thing that was blowing my mind is my brother was still going to this, sitting under this guy at this church.
Well, wow.
Yeah, some crazy stuff out there. And people are reluctant to see right through it. But yeah, there's some really awesome pastors out there. And I'm glad to say Pastor Lon's one of the best.
I wish he lived closer.
Yeah, one of the best, one of the busiest. Well, I don't know, man. Man, the way that stuff Miss Robbie makes, man, I'd be 500 pounds, man, walking around here. And I don't know how he is it, man, because a lot of pastors, you know, a lot of the parishioners bring in stuff to eat and stuff, mm-hmm, you know. But no, he's he and Miss Robbie, man, they do more than any two human beings I know on this planet. All right, so bad news, good news section. For every one bad, we give you two good. Now, this one, it's kind of on the heels of what we talked about. And I want to make sure everybody hears this. Because when I read this today, I was still floored. Over 2,400 kids are still missing in Maui, but aren't included in the government's death toll yet. How do you even make sense of this?
How are 2,400?
2,400.
If there's 24.
Yes.
If there's 24, like, the whole world shut down because there were, what, 11 soccer players stuck in a cave in somewhere in, like, South America?
Yeah.
Yeah. 2,400 kids are missing?
2,400 kids missing on Maui.
In
ain't
the United
nobody
States.
Talking about it. Yeah. In the
Next
United
to
States.
Military bases.
And you know the thing that floors me more than anything? The thing that is just infuriating to me is the fact that you same idiots walking around, you can't even find Ukraine on a map, but you got their flag, but you can't put up the flag of Hawaii or even the United States in solidarity with these people. Nobody in the prostitute media is even talking about it.
No.
Nobody's saying anything about it. Most likely, like a lot of the people on these islands are talking about, the universal thought is these kids were incinerated. Okay? So, there's also some other theories out there that maybe they were snatched. That maybe that, you know, maybe this was one giant snatch operation.
Probably.
This is coming from a former Navy SEAL. I don't know. I don't really know for sure. I mean, it's something that's been posited out there. I can't say for sure one way or the other. All I know is they are not present and accounted for. And you get that moron Biden over there, and he's going, talking about his Corvette burning up. It's like, what planet am I living on? But man, at the end of the day, y'all, I can't think of anything more dreadful. 2,400 kids. It's almost like this ain't even real. Because if you had 2,400 kids, man, you would think that whole island would be erupting.
Maybe it's not. There's that possibility, too. That this is all just a distraction. That's a possibility as well.
You know, that has occurred to me as well. I'm like, you can't get any reporters in there to actually see. Anybody that flies a drone overhead is, you know, dealt with.
Yeah.
I don't know what to believe. And that's where we are right now. I'm thinking, okay, if this story is true, and it's coming from a pretty reliable source, if this story is true, then what is the matter with us? If that story is true, if it isn't true, what's the matter with us?
Yeah. I mean,
it's like if 2,400 missing kids can't wake you up and think, what on earth is going on here? Then I don't know what can. People are naturally going to delve into whatever theory makes sense when the official story makes no sense. You got the same guy that was in the Las Vegas shooting. Now he's chief of police over there. Sound like a bunch of coincidences right to you?
Yeah.
Not to me, not for 1 minute. So, I mean, that's just something to consider, y'all. That's the bad news. So, yeah, but where are all the candlelight vigils for these kids?
Yeah. Nobody cares.
Where's the celebrities out there doing their concerts? Taylor Swift and the other no-talent hacks out there doing their concerts saying, oh, let's raise money for these blah, 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 blah. No, you won't do it for that.
How is there more footage coming from that earthquake in Romania? How is there more footage coming from there? And like in the middle of nowhere in Romania, like there's clips of like desolate country, like the effects of that in Romania, but there's not really any footage of what happened in Hawaii.
Yeah. So naturally, theories are going to fly. Nobody can get a straight answer. And the powers that shouldn't be, and also the prostitute media, nobody's talking about this stuff. 2,400 missing kids.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm starting to wonder if I'm the weird one, man. It's like that doctor said, it's no measure of health to be well-adjusted to a sick society. Man, I'm starting to understand with that one old boy that came out with that song, I Want to Go Home. That's his latest one.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah,
Oliver
Anthony.
Yeah.
His latest song, man, even I think it's more powerful than the first. And I think it's called I Want to Go Home. And I get it, man. I mean, for crying out loud, dude, right when you think the weirdness, the craziness, the depravity, the whatever, the, you know how they say the opposite of love isn't hate, it's indifference?
Yeah.
All I see around me is indifference. I see people that should care. Oh, it's the Hotel Rwanda thing, you know? It's like, Oh, that's so sad. Can you pass the potatoes? And nobody cares. But at the end of the day,
that's the state that they want us in, is to think that nobody else cares. And if you're looking for a reason to strive for personal excellence, there you go.
Yeah, there you go. Just do the opposite of everything they want you to do.
Yeah.
And I mean the opposite. Don't watch their movies. Don't listen to their music. Don't do anything they want you to. So we're going to move on to some good stuff. All right, so do these exercises in the morning. And the reason why I brought this up is I'm going to put a little twist on it. It says, do these exercises in the morning to boost your heart function and reduce your risk of heart disease and stroke. So they're talking about warming up exercises. They're talking about a bicep stretch. You know, there's a lot of stretching and aerobic exercises out there.
Or
even some strength training. Okay, son, what are you going to say that I'm already going to say?
Or you can just move animals every morning.
There you go. I was going to say, just if you're looking to get your heart rate going, you can climb mountains. You can pull animals. You can chase them down. You can wrestle them down even.
You can chase Milk fence. Boy.
Yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of. That's why I brought that
compost
up. Well, they're basically saying that you get a greater benefit if you can do it in the morning. Okay, well, therein lies, if you're looking for all the reasons you might want to consider this lifestyle, well, there's a pretty good one right there.
Yeah, and you're growing food at the same time. What's better than working out and growing your food at the same time?
Yes, but, you know, you hear so many people say, well, that's too much work. And I remember sitting down having dinner with Joel Salatin one time, and I remember him. I remember telling him, I was like, man, these kids they sent out as apprentices, all he wanted to say was, man, that's too much work. And then you can see Joel's countenance change. He says, man, I hate that. Yeah. Yeah, I do too.
Hey, but that's fine. Somebody's got to buy the produce.
There you go. I mean, that's fine too, if that's your angle. But the point of it being, when it comes to exercises, is that become a farmer.
Yeah.
Go out there, get up in the morning, go do your stuff. I mean, they're talking about regular calisthenics and push-ups and sit-ups and that kind of stuff. Well, you can get everything. Just good night, man. You have one of the best fighters from way back, Matt Hughes. All he did was train on the farm for the most part, man. He just did farm work to train for his fights.
Yeah.
And he was one of the best ever. So, I mean, there's something to be said there.
And okay. Survived that car wreck. I'm sure that had something to do with it, because I don't think most people would have survived that.
I guess I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah. He got into like a really bad car wreck and like shattered his body. And he recovered. He's up and like walking around.
Well, that's farm strong. Man, I hate cliches, but that's one of them right there. Farm strong. Let's be farm strong, everybody.
I didn't know that was a cliche.
Well, no, it's a town. They name it like Asheville strong.
Oh, I got
Denver you. Strong. It's like, come on, man. Can we please come up with something else besides whatever strong? All right. Another good news. Check this out. 5-year-old lemonade stand in Seattle raised over $17,000 for victims of the Maui wildfires.
Oh, wow.
This little boy right here, he's a cute little boy. Good night, man. $17,000. So let's do the math on this. So he raised $16,400 more than Joe Biden did.
Yeah.
Because he gave him, what, $700 per person? Oh, wow. Don't do me any favors. But you're paying the retirement pensions for people in Ukraine right now.
Yeah. Yep.
You're doing that. But this little boy... I mean, good night, man. It'll bring tears to your eyes.
He is cute.
Yeah, he's a cute little boy.
He's all proud of his lemonade stand.
And he's 5 years old.
He did a good job.
5 years old, raised 17 G's.
He man, set that stand better than we did the first time.
I was going to say, man, his lemonade stand looks better than our stand at most of these festivals.
Yeah, if it wasn't for Shelly.
Yeah, if it wasn't for Shelly, man, they'd be like, man, get out of here with all this weak stuff. Yeah, but... this kid, man, you got to love it. It says Lemonade for Lahaina. Lahaina. I'm not saying it right, but you get it.
How much would he have made all in sales... Seattle if he was black, Dad?
What's that?
How much would he have made in Seattle if he was black?
Oh, man.
He'd have been a millionaire.
Oh, man. That kid, man, he had been able to... Everybody in Lahaina would get a new house.
Yeah.
If he was in Asheville or out there, man, he would make a fortune.
Yeah.
And he left his town... You put a bunch of black folks out there, man, they will break bread like you wouldn't believe.
Point proven, there's a kid selling cereal in Asheville making a killing.
Oh, I think I know. I've heard his mom, I think, in an interview one time.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I believe I... Okay, well, I mean, yeah, if I remember, man, that cereal's pretty... It's like the Kool-Aid you're going to find in the hood, man. There's a whole lot of sugar in that cereal. All right, y'all, when we get back, we're going to get into the main topic. But right now, we're going to go to my man, Eric Sider.
Hey, Eric Sider here with your PimpCast tip of the day. Today's tip, we must clearly define sustainability. The word has been co-opted by corporations to the point that it has basically lost all meaning. And if we are going to be designing permaculture systems, we must have a clear understanding of what it means to be truly sustainable. Like most things in permaculture, sustainability is all about energy. A sustainable system produces more energy than it consumes, enough in surplus to maintain and replace that system and its component parts over their lifetimes. Producing a surplus is the key here. That's why the third ethic of permaculture, the return of surplus to earth care and people care, is so critical to designing systems that can go on forever. You can find me on YouTube and Instagram at Eric Sider. And if you're in need of permaculture t-shirts or permaculture consultation and design, head over to ericsider.com.
Every single time we do a podcast, one of us in this room is wearing one of Eric's shirts.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, wearing his nitrogen fixer shirt right here.
Yeah. Yeah, so definitely, y'all, if you want the best conversation starters for T-shirts, I mean, okay, when I went and saw Greg Judy, I was wearing one of Eric's shirts. He's like, man, him and Jan both said, we got to have that shirt. Yeah. I've been meaning to send them one, and I keep forgetting. I was out in Arizona. The guy said the same thing, been meaning to send him a shirt.
Yeah.
Everywhere I go, everybody on that job out there that I was working on, that Earthship job in Arizona, everybody was wanting these shirts. And, you know, I'm sure there was too many Hooter bandits out there to be able to afford a T-shirt. But
his shirts and David the Good's Compost Your Enemy shirt. Those are shirts everybody loves.
Yeah, I don't know. David the Good's, man. Well, in that shirt, it depends. There was a couple of times I wore that shirt, man, and people were kind of weirded out by
really?
It. Yeah, they didn't know what to make of it. But with Eric's shirts, if you know, I mean, the cool thing is that it's a conversation starter no matter what side of the equation that person is on. So, Folks, definitely go check out Eric Sider's YouTube channel. Go check out his shirts because they're linked there. And you're going to be glad you did, because that's honestly 80% of the times I'm wearing a shirt, it's usually something he designed because he's got the best out there, no doubt about that. So go get one. All right, so main topic, y'all. Before we get into it, remember EMP Shield, $50 off with promo code PERMA. You know, it's amazing how little people are talking about what's going on over in Ukraine right now. It's just kind of slowly but surely not taking all the headlines right now. It's like it just doesn't even exist anymore. But you know
The debates just happened. Trump thing is happening. I think they got plenty of distractions right now.
Yeah, so they're all about the distractions right now. So nobody's really talking about it. But Russia's still saying, don't start no SH and there won't be no IT. So that's where we get down to an EMP shield. $50 off with promo code PERMA. Remember, you ain't using it to go drive to the club. You're using it to get to your crib. So, yeah, that's what you need. All right, main topic, y'all. I've been wanting to do this for a while. There's a whole lot of topics I've been wanting to do for a while and cover. Even thought about doing a video. Now, one of these is going to be, number five is going to be very controversial. And one of my biggest pet peeves, we talked about, if you want to get into the farm space, or if you wanted to get in shape, like we were talking a minute ago, think about some farm exercises. But one of the quickest and fastest ways to get yourself burnt out is doing things inefficiently. I mean that. So how do you make yourself a little more efficient? Now, there's certain people out there who honestly, no matter what, will be inefficient.
Yep.
That there's nothing you can say, nothing you can do. There's no plan you can come up with. And there's also going to be these people out there who govern all of their decision-making on a farm, household, whatever the case may be, through emotions. Then you're going to have that other segment that are going to govern what they want to do based on ego. Yeah. So am I crapping on everybody here? I like to think I am at this point, because for a lot of guys, it's usually going to be ego. For women, it's going to be, you know, feelings. And that's typically how it goes. That's been our experience, having worked with a lot of other people out there.
Yep.
So not one is worse than the other. In fact, I know a guy where it's feelings and ego all rolled into one.
I would say, ego would be far worse.
Yeah. Because
feelings you can get over. Ego is a lot harder.
Well, I'm saying your decision-making process and how you do things. And like here on this farm, I mean, typically William and I are more geared towards efficiency. And I think I tend to think most guys are. So you got to find that happy medium.
Most construction, and most guys that have worked in construction.
Well, yeah, guys that definitely have a construction background. You got to be efficient in those environments, because look, you got to make money. So you got to find efficient ways of doing it, or you ain't going to be in business very long. So I made a list of some of the things that might help. And like I said, number five is going to be controversial. So bring on the hate mail. Okay. Number one, as simple as this sounds, just like when we do permaculture design, you draw it out on paper. Well, make a list the night before, if you can, of what it is you want to accomplish the next day. Now, do we always get this right? We've talked about the power list that we got from Mandy Frisella. That's helpful. It is extremely helpful to me. But you also want to make a list of your most critical things. Get them on your list. make that the top of your list. It can be anything that's going to advance what you have to do that day, but don't get sidetracked. That's where I screw up, is that I'll have a list, and then below that list, I have my overflow items, okay, if I get done with that list. What I find myself doing is the overflow items sometimes before I'm getting done the main items that have to get done on that list. So be very cautious. So start with a list.
Well, oh, yeah, go ahead. My bad.
Go ahead.
No, it's fine. Go ahead.
So start early and don't get up at the crack of noon. Okay, there was a guy here. He was doing the speaking circuit for a while. We get up at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Still is.
Okay, well, there's a guy out there. Gets up, literally says he wants to come out and learn how to do the chicken tractor on steroids back when I would let people come here. And, you know, he's well known. He would get up at noon and then wonder why we already did all the chores. And I'm like, I don't know what farm you work at, homie, but
no, got up at 10, took his nap at noon, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got up at 10. This is like straight out of an Axl Rose song, man. This is like Guns N' Roses kind of stuff. Get up around 11, get out of bed around, I don't know, whatever the song goes, but yeah, start early. And trust me, your animals are going to thank you. Remember, chickens get up first, pigs get up last. So you can arrange your chores in such a way to where you get the ones that are most relevant. Sometimes it just may not make sense based on how your zoning is. It may work differently, but generally you want to start as early as you can, because especially when the weather gets hot. Now, you may want to start a little bit later when the weather gets cold, because you may want that big heat tab in the sky. Or it may be a great, depending on where you live, it might be a greater advantage to you to work before the sun hits everything. Depending on, let's say it's a snowy environment, depending on where you are, that is an advantage or a disadvantage. So start early. All right. Now this is kind of redundant to a certain extent, but it's not. I want you to develop a relationship in proximity to things that work together. So what do we call that?
What do you
Zoning.
Mean?
Zoning.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You want to develop, you don't want to put your chickens, we say this all the time because it's happened. Don't put your chickens in zone 5. Maybe your chickens want to be situated near your garden. Should there be a symbiosis between your garden and your chickens? Yeah. Is it going to make you more efficient getting your chores done? Absolutely. What about your pigs? What about some of the others? If you have pigs, let's say in a stationary environment, do you think they want them somewhere near your garden area? You probably do. Or someplace you're going to be composting? Do you want your composting area next to your chickens? Yeah, and they can all be under one roof.
Or your kitchen garden, you want that close to your house as well, because that's going to take more maintenance than maybe your main crop or some of your larger crops or anything.
And those are things you're going to use practically every day.
Yeah, and you can put your orchard further away if you want to.
Right, the things you're not going to look at every single day. So zoning, I know we spend a lot of time talking about that, folks, but it is one of those things that will make or break your farm. And I had extensive conversations with Danny from Deep South Homestead, and because he has a lifetime in construction, he understood where to put things to make them efficient.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at it, what makes, because you go there, you wonder how on earth does Wanda and Danny do all this stuff, and they do it all, y'all. There's no army of paid volunteers over there, or not paid or unpaid volunteers over there doing their work. They actually do it all. The key to that is zoning. If you doubt me, go ask Danny. He'll tell you. It's knowing, even though he isn't a trained permaculture designer, he's much better than that, because he's just using his common sense to say, does it make sense to put my trees here? Does it make sense to put my chickens over there? They have everything in the very perfect proximity to where it can all be integrated one to the other. And folks, we're talking about a permaculture farm, okay? Okay, number 4, efficiency. This is what I'm talking about here. Ditch your phone. Stop playing on your phone. And in fact, I've made myself, unless I'm out there weed eating, I don't even use my earbuds anymore. And I'm encouraging everybody else to stop it too. Because you need to not only be alert to what's going on, there's no real heavy machinery to worry about per se, but also your senses should be on lock to the work you're doing. You want to be able to hear things. Now, when I'm running a weed eater or something trying to clear a line, something's going to have to get compromised there. But when you're on that phone or you got somebody playing with it or whatever the case may be, it is making you inefficient. So, I mean, it has its role. It could have its role. Well, some people I know it has no role. Joel Salatin doesn't play that at all, man. You don't even, you better not even be thinking about putting no earbuds in or anything else while you're out there working. It's also a matter of safety. You're out there, let's say a tree falls and you just happen to be there. Okay, those things happen.
Yeah.
If you don't hear that branch breaking, you don't get that warning ahead, you know, because you got your earbuds in, that could be a dangerous situation. So you want to be very, very cautious of those things. Plus, it slows you down. Now, number five is going without a doubt to be the most controversial thing I probably ever said in this podcast, but I'm deadly serious. The number five, really, I think one of the biggest things that will make you inefficient on your homestead is your dog. Okay? If you're out there doing chores and you have the kind of dog that is in your way, or you got to walk around because you're, and then I got one of those dogs. That's why I'm telling you this. When I'm messing with the compost down there, I got to put Milk Boy up. He's got to get locked up somewhere, or he's got to be very, very occupied, or it's got to be very hot. Otherwise, wherever you are, he's going to want to be. And he's just that kind of dog. He's going to be wanting to get in the middle of everything. And so now a 20-minute job just turned into a 30-minute job because you're having to constantly deal with him, shoo him away. Or if you're out doing like tree operations, let's say you're taking limbs down or knocking down trees, and you got a dog out there with you, folks, that is one of the most foolish things you'll ever do. Or you got your animals in close proximity, foolish. But I'm mainly talking about pets, which can be pests if you don't use them properly. If I got to take two steps out of my way to get a job done because a dog is in the way, look, it will infuriate me, and I mean that. If I got to take two steps, if it takes me five steps to get from A to B to get this done, but now I got to take seven because this dog is messing with me, it just made you incredibly inefficient. But people think you got to have this idyllic farm life to be able to make it work. And folks, I'm telling you, these animals, your pets, if they're that kind of dog, then just put them off to the side. You know, you can't be dealing with that. Your dogs could also be the biggest nuisance for your chickens if you have the wrong dog. Let's say you had the dog before you had the chickens.
Yep.
And your dog could be one of the biggest problems on your farm, your own dog. So you're going to have to think about that stuff. In terms of efficiency, though, people's animals are one of the biggest problems. You're out there processing an animal, and you're trying to get it on the table, but it's already heavy enough carrying this pig, but I got to step over somebody's dog to get there.
Yeah.
It's one of the biggest aggravations I have when I work in other places. And I try to eliminate that. Is, believe it or not, dogs are the number one thing that will make you inefficient on a farmstead. I know the hate's going to come, but look, I'm keeping it real. Put up the dog. Get it a new home if it's that I mean, Joel's talk about this repeatedly. It's like, if the dog is too disruptive, man, you got to go.
Yeah.
If you can't fit yourself into this environment, then, you know, it's going to be a problem. Dogs are the number one problem, as I see it, getting your chores done in a timely manner, because so many people seem to think they need the dog around for whatever. Look, just put them up for a little while, let them out when you're done. All right? With that said, we're going to move on to Chef Snow.
Hey, Chef Keith Snow with HarvestEating.com and FoodStorageFeast.com with a PimpCast tip for you today, and that is how to make your herbs last longer. Now, in the restaurant business, when we get herbs into the kitchens, what we do is take them out of the box, we carefully wash them, and then we shake them off to get excess water off, and then we wrap them in a paper towel. The paper towel is going to collect moisture from the herbs that were just washed. We roll it up slightly and place it into zip-top bags. Now, we never zip the top of the bags, and those will sit sort of in a container, sort of upright, if you can imagine that, in the walk-in cooler, and we can get very, very long shelf lives out of them that way. But I see people in the home kitchen buy their herbs. Most of the time, they don't wash them, and then they leave them in that plastic produce bag. They throw it into one of the drawers in the fridge, and a couple days later, when you go to use it, they're slimy and black and nasty. So for you home cooks, try and do it the other way. Give them a good wash, wrap them in a paper towel, put them in a Ziploc bag without zipping the bag. You can easily get up to 2 weeks out of your herbs if you do that. Now, I wanted to go ahead and let you all know that you can join Food Storage Feast for $2.99 a month for a limited time. Do check that out. Also, check out my podcast at harvesteating.com. And I wanted to thank the entire team at Permapastures Farm for letting me contribute. I hope everybody has a great day and take care.
The entire team is us.
Yeah.
You're hearing them.
Well, thanks a lot, Chef
Thank
Snow.
You.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It's me and Dad.
Yeah, it's a team. You know, sometimes you can be a team of one.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I'm just saying it's funny how he worded it, the entire team.
Yeah.
All
yeah.
two of us.
Yeah, so I hope we don't create the impression that we got a whole gang over here, y'all. We do this at the end of the day when the chores are done. But I want to give a shout out to Chef Snow. Go check him out, y'all. And go over there, get yourself a subscription. I mean,
he's also got a ton of free content over there.
Yes,
too.
Yes, he's got a really awesome website. Yeah, his was actually the website we were thinking. Oh my goodness, man, we had the most jacked up from the feet up kind of website, and it was his that we wanted when we had our website designer come up with our latest. I said, look, I don't want you to copy his, but man, it's a clean, efficient website.
If y'all haven't checked it out, definitely go check it out.
You want a perfectly designed website, in my view, and I think he did it himself.
I meant our website.
Oh, well.
Yeah, check out our website.
Well, that one
we
too.
We have a new one now.
Yeah, we actually got a new one, but, you know, he was kind of, seeing his website made me realize just how short we were falling on ours, man. That thing was just, I mean, your mom's got this giant sunflower on the first one. I'm like, what? Does that sunflower have anything to do with what we're doing?
The bigger
I just
issues,
thought it was pretty. I'm like, what?
The bigger issues were the overlapping buttons.
Yeah, yeah. So we had issues, but now they're all they're worked out, and we're moving on. So, all right. Once again, shout out to Chef Snow. All right, before we get into the Q&A, y'all, Harvest Right freeze dryers. Got a link for those down below should you require one. And I can think of about a million reasons why you might want one right now, but if you can't, I understand there's other ways to get prepared, and also Chef Snow has pretty awesome ways on things you can do regarding your preparedness stuff.
Yeah.
Where it doesn't have to taste like just beans and rice, man. You can do some really cool stuff with it. Why not learn from the best? All right. So I got one from Ryan over here, and man, I had no idea how many people would be reaching out concerning this. He says, thank you for speaking out on your anxiety. I felt it was something that, I mean, in a nutshell, he found out in his case it was a vitamin D deficiency, but he found out also that praying makes all the difference in the world, y'all. I wondered if also this moon is going to be playing some weird stuff on a lot of people right now. I'm doing a parasite detoxification thing right now. Drags all the parasites and stuff out of you. You're supposed to do it around the full moon because those guys are really active. Well, if those guys are really active around these times, good night, man. I can't imagine what it's doing to certain other people out there.
Well, yeah.
But
and it's not like anything woo-woo either. I mean, if the moon affects the oceans and pulls tides and stuff like that, we're, 60 to 70% water.
Yeah.
It's going to affect us as well.
Right. So that's exactly what a lot of these naturopaths and stuff, they base a lot of their stuff on the moon. And there's a lot of people grow things on that basis as well. But I can't believe how many other people hit me up about the anxiety they're going through right now? Folks, I don't know if it's something in the zeitgeist. I don't know if it's something that might deal with the moon. It could have something to do with some of the solar waves out there. It could almost certainly have to do with the enemy that's constantly trying to bombard us every single day. That's why I love Pastor Lon on here. And why I told y'all, man, I had to spend a great deal of time going through the messages he provides. And also with Pastor David Langford, I was telling you about him as well. And, because I can't find a decent church where I'm sure they're around. I just don't know where it is, where I can find somebody that's actually going to preach the word and not going about this prosperity gospel and all the other stuff. So I'm listening to their messages out there. And when you get down and pray, just like Pastor Langford said, your problem's still there, but you just feel better because you got down and prayed. And that's for me, the number one source. Wim Hof breathing makes all the difference in the world. I had no idea how many people were dealing with anxiety right now. But yeah, I'm glad to hear you're on the other side of it, Ryan.
Got one. Well, I don't have anything from the Fountain app this week. Same issue as last week is happening with the Fountain app. So I don't know what's going on with that. But I got some comments from the YouTube channel, Permaculture Pimpcast. I got one from Matt Davis. Thanks for covering my email. Believe me, if I wasn't already halfway done with my second year degree, and if my scholarship didn't cover all of it except class fees, I would be out. I strongly advise everyone, don't send your kids to college. It's a waste of time and money. The dumbest thing I've heard from people my age, I'm going to college for the experience and to find myself. They need to be pimp slapped back to reality.
You know, that's funny he mentions that, because I spent time at a local college that we live by. I was over there today, and tomorrow's the first day back to school for a lot of these kids in college.
Yeah.
And I'm looking around there, and I'm like, okay, first of all, I see a lot of, I'm like, these people are not behaving like educated people. There was a time you went to college to learn advanced Latin, but now you go there to learn remedial English.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, for crying out loud, I mean, I'm sitting here looking at these kids and I'm like, man, I'm listening to the conversations. I'm hearing this kid in the gym regurgitating words that are unintelligible. And I'm like, man, does that seem like a, wow, doesn't look like an educated person to me. Certainly not behaving like that.
Could have also been worn out. You're at the gym, Dad. No, I've said things that were like, you couldn't understand while working out.
He's got music playing in his earphones and he's like, I'm like, what am I hearing? I just want to go over there and pull his earphones off and say, look, what are you saying? Is this going to lead to pops and clicks? I mean, I don't know what's next. But anyway, I'm over there, and every time I've talked to any of these kids over there, like, what's your major? In every single case but one, it's basket weaving. It's not literally basket weaving, but there's not one degree I hear them spending money on that is going to produce, like Eric talked about, sustainability,
mm-hmm.
where it's going to put out more energy than what it requires. You're going to pay more for that education than it's ever going to provide for you. Now, I've said it before, I got a military education, trade education, college education with 2 degrees, and a farm education. Of those 4 modalities of education, the one that has never put a dime in my pocket is that college education.
Yeah.
So, and it's the one that costs the most. So, in fact, it costs more than all the others combined.
Even if you're with the scholarship as well, because it costs time.
Yes. And that's something you got to think about. So if you're not getting into engineering, nursing, or something in the medical field, something related like that, I don't know why you would go to college and feel like you need a degree in sport. I heard this one the other day over at this college, man. It was like something sports related. And I'm like, okay, that sounds like a business degree. It sounds like a dime a dozen. That's not going to, what are you going to do with that?
Yeah.
When everybody, okay, so you're going to be a barista somewhere. Okay, that's all well and good. The one girl I know of over there, she was the only one of everybody I've talked to over there. And these days I talk to everybody. She's the only one that has any plan with her degree. She's actually taken 22 hours this semester and plays softball, and she's actually going off to dental school. So, wow, what a concept.
Yeah.
So she's actually got some plan to do. Okay, that makes sense, because you got to hit those prerequisites to be able to get into dental school. So at least she's, but what are they going to charge you for dental school?
Yeah.
That's
how many of those years are you going to be working for free?
Exactly. My brother, who's a doctor, I think he hadn't yet paid off his medical school. And he was in these Shylock loans where you couldn't pay him off early.
Oh yeah.
He didn't, I think he was in his 50s before he ever paid off his student loans for college.
Wow.
Unbelievable. All right. So right here, Daryl, hey, brother, Billy and William, thanks to you, I was able to make some ball and compost. Thank you. Here's my question. The area I had to make the compost in isn't user-friendly. Can I pack my black gold up and store it in a container where it's needed? I have trash bags, heavy rubber trash cans, or galvanized trash can with lids.
I would say no.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm going to tell you, too. I'm going to say no for a couple of reasons. If you can, you're better off storing it on the ground somewhere where it can be protected. Obviously, you want to cover it up. You want to make sure whatever rain events happen aren't exactly running into your pile. So you want to make diversion drains around there if you possibly can. But sticking it in a plastic container, man, it's gonna be inert after a while. You're gonna lose your life.
Unless you're using like the plastic container to move it to the location.
Yes.
So if you're using the plastic container to move it to the location, pile it up on the ground, and then take like 4 intermediate fence posts or something like that, and then hang a tarp over it, and then you should be good. And then just maintain your water. You want 50% water.
Yeah, you want to make sure your moisture is good. You want to maintain that somewhere around 50%. We've shown how to do that in our Patreon videos. So I don't care if it's plastic, metal, whatever. I wouldn't leave it in there because it's not having an interaction with the environment. Okay, right. It's in a very almost aseptic environment. That's really not going to.
It's going to go anaerobic in contact with those containers, right, and eventually into the core. And you might be thinking, oh, I can just poke holes in it. That's not enough.
So it's, very short time, yeah, but very, very short.
Yep. Got one from Colleen Bowman. I clicked on the store link a couple times, and it says page not found. Did you change the link below to the new website? That should be, yeah, linked down below on everything new now. The new link should be on every, like on the Permapasture's Farm one. And the Permaculture Pimp Cast and all the new episodes and stuff like that. So,
all right, there's other, this is the only thing I'm going to read about the panic attacks. This is another one too. Didn't catch his name. I'm guessing it's Jay. I like your podcast fine, but on the fence about the esoteric. I get it. I mean, you know, examine it for yourself and see where you come down on that, Jay. However, me being a tough man had to send off some extreme anxiety attacks a couple of weeks ago, dwindling after. I wouldn't have it and wouldn't mention it to anybody, but you brought it up, and I trust myself enough to know something happened. Yeah, you feel like you're having a heart attack. You feel like you might pass out. You feel those things happen. I mean, they really, really happen. He says, basically, it's never happened since his teens, and he was wondering our thoughts. Kind of covered it earlier because, like I said, of all the shows we've ever done, I just can't believe how many people were responding saying that they're dealing with some serious panic attacks. And, man, I at the end of the day, I'm chalking mine up. I just know that spiritually, nothing can mess with me. When I get on my knees and I pray and I ask the Lord to, look, if there's any unclean thing in me or in this space, I bind it in the holy name of Jesus. When I do that, problems go away, y'all. If it's something of a spiritual nature, now there may be something of a, maybe you got blood sugar issues. Maybe you have medical issues.
Maybe you drink mom's coffee.
There is that, because I have had panic attacks having had her coffee. So couldn't figure out what was going on. I'm like, I'm as happy as a clam. Why am I freaking out right now? How come I don't know my own first name? Yeah, I had some of her coffee. And folks, I'm not exaggerating. That stuff will knock your junk into your watch pocket. I'm talking, that stuff is tough. So
about the esoteric, though, you might be on the fence of it. Or with it, and it might make more sense if you look at it this way. You might not necessarily believe the esoteric or any of that stuff, but this is what they believe. This is what the people in charge right now believe.
The powers that shouldn't be, they believe it. Yeah, so they want to act as if they're atheists or anything but.
Yeah.
I mean, they're evil SOBs all the way to the core, and I mean evil, like diabolical type evil that scarcely any of us can imagine. But when he's saying the esoteric, that could be any number of things. But regarding the panic attacks, honestly, the only thing I have ever known to do is pray deep, believe it or not, deep Wim Hof breathing. That's another thing I forgot to tell you about. Cold showers. But honestly, if you find yourself in some high anxiety, you do some Wim Hof breathing, I'm telling you what, it's going away. And you can, and I pray at the same time when I'm doing it anyway. I do the breathing. And as I'm holding my breath for that part of it, I'm actually praying there a lot of times. So by the time I get done 3 cycles of that, if you don't know what it is, go look up Wim Hof, W-I-M-H-O-F, and get yourself a guided, just try it. You're not going to believe how well you feel doing it, how your anxiety goes away, how you just chill out. So it's a good way to kind of ease yourself all the way around.
Got one from Robert Hohen. Robert from Abilene here. Thanks for addressing my questions regarding city water. Do you have a recommendation for a humic acid source, down to earth maybe?
So we're making a lot of humic acid in the compost we have right now. Now, as far as we haven't bought any. The only humic acid we got around here that I think we bought is actually the stuff I drink.
And okay.
Some is fulvic acid, some is humic acid. So, and both of which we make in our compost.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can just make compost, dip some of that in there until it changes color. As long as you have like a high fungal content of in your compost. Trying to think what else could he, I mean, yeah.
You can buy it. I don't know of any good brand names though.
I would just be careful. I would look at the ingredients list and be careful of some of the preserve. They're all going to have a preservative of some sort. I would just be cautious of that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Got one from Mandy Garrett. My parents sacrificed a lot to bringing us here from communist country to America, the land of the free, but the truth is they didn't know they brought us to another communist country. Sadly, I'm glad they are resting in peace because they would be very disappointed with America right now. Currently, I'm very fed up with the situation and control in America, so I am with you, Billy. If they come for me, I will not comply and may end up in jail. So be it. Thank you for all you guys do.
Well, thank you for all you do, Mandy, you and your husband. It's always a joy to run into them at some of these festivals. Folks, yeah. Those are some of the people. It's going to be people like that where you know personally. You get to know. You don't spend a whole lot of time together, but you see each other at, let's say, Back to the Land Festival. You see them at, you know, this festival over here, and then it's like a homecoming every single time. Well, Mandy's one of those people. She and her husband, fantastic, wonderful, salt of the earth kind of people. And I feel exactly the same way, where I wonder if people like Yuri Bezmenov, when they got over here, I wonder if he thought, man, I've really made a big mistake here. I really wonder that. I mean, if you read Yuri Bezmenov's story and what they did in the KGB, how they gave them fake wives, and it was like, hey, you're assigned to this wife. She's your wife.
Yeah.
Make some kids and the whole nine yards. I mean, that's they took it that far.
They had some like mainstream TV show talking about
the Americans.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but it was not quite like that. But Yuri Bezmenov, I wonder if people like him and all the other people that have sacrificed, you know, thinking they were escaping something. And then I also wonder, you know, people like Julian Assange and all the others. I made the prediction when they first came out. I said, you know what? They're going to realize that they just risked everything to wake up a public that couldn't care less.
Yeah.
Edward Snowden, they go on about him. I'm not so sure. I'm still not so sure if he's not a limited hangout. But you got people that were higher ranking in the NSA than he ever dreamed of being. People like Bill Binney and J. Kirk Wiebe and a whole gang of others. Thomas, I can't think of his last name. There's three right off the top of my head that were far more consequential than Edward Snowden, but he was the only one you ever heard of on TV.
Right.
And yeah. So anyway, all these guys, you know, lives ruined to wake up a population in America that couldn't care less.
Got one from Ann in Texas. Were you aware our tax dollars have been used to arm the FDA? Why do meat inspectors need to be armed? God, Family, and Guns channel did a short video on it.
Yeah, IRS agents are armed now, too.
I know why they're armed. Because yeah. They've done sent back to the wrong meat too many times, and all these farmers are pissed off.
Well, I'll tell you what, they're going to keep it up. I mean, this is not... You go ahead and take these jobs if you want to, y'all, but there's some old boys out there, like Gerald Celente says... When you have lost it all, you have nothing else to lose, then you lose it.
Yeah.
And we are getting to the point where, okay, some of these guys, you know, you get a lot of farmers that commit suicide. Nobody talks about that. It's tragic. It's awful. And mostly commodity type farmers, you know, a lot of people in Nebraska and those places like that, man, you know, they lose it all. And it's like they're at the end of their rope. Now, imagine you're thinking, okay, I'm about to go ahead and go curtains on myself. You know what? Let some of these people roll up in here. I'm going to take them out. That's I'm telling you, that's how people are going to start thinking. I don't advocate that. I'm not for violence in any form. Now, I will also say I am don't start no SH and there won't be no IT kind of guy either. So I'm not saying I'm not going to go looking for trouble. But if trouble goes looking for you, obviously, there's some old boys out there, man. There are people we know that are almost hoping that somebody tries to assault their homes.
Oh, absolutely. Or not even their homes. There are people out there that are just hoping for something to happen.
Yes.
Like anything to happen.
Yes. To be in the middle of a shootout. I mean, because they have some Hollywood notion of how these things go down. And really, man, when you got IRS agents out there being armed, shooting each other on a firing range. Man, that just happened the other day. So you got basically the Apple Dumpling Gang out there holding some of these weapons, and they're not the people you want to be mixed up with.
I just rolled with a couple of the future ATF agents today. We're good, Dad. Everybody's safe. We're all good.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Got one from Special K. Appreciate the raw truth when many males these days seem to have lost their balls. My kind of talk.
Well, no shortage of that. I mean, look, there's a lot of guys out there saying or thinking, I mean, and I'll be honest with you, I see more women standing up than guys.
Yeah.
I mean, with this whole COVID thing and all the other things that went on there, overwhelmingly,
on both sides, more women stood up, regardless of what they thought, more women stood up for what they thought was right than guys did.
There's far more male doctors than female doctors, but why is it there? And if you were to look at all the doctors that actually stood up regarding all that, the majority were female.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, so yeah, you got these nutless wonders out there, forgive the language, but I don't know what else to call them. They're nutless wonders. And I never seen anything like it. And it just floors me that you got all these guys out there that are so willing. Oh, I got a wife and kids to feed, but I ain't never heard a woman say that to me. It's always the women that seem to be standing up. So I want to take my hat off to all you wonderful ladies out there who are doing things that maybe your nutless wonder boyfriend or husband ain't doing. Look, I'm sorry to be so crude like that, but honestly, yeah, tell him I said it.
Yeah,
and if he's offended by it, you got it coming anyway, nephew. Wake up. You know what? Let her wear your pants.
Send him or give him some Hickory Ridge soap and tell him the pimps told you to or turning you into from a simp to a pimp.
That's right. Yes. Yeah. Maybe use some of that soap down there instead of powdering them suckers. I mean.
And you better not use a loofah.
No. Yeah. Okay. Loofah, you're disqualified right off the bat. No, really. The truth of it is, at the end of the day, man, we gotta start standing up. We got to have guys that are going to stand up and say, look, I've had enough of this. I'm not going to put up with your garbage. You're not going to come out here and steal my neighbor's stuff, and I'm just going to stand by and watch it happen. What? You get to me last?
Yeah.
I mean, we got to put our foot down and say, look, I've had enough of this. I can't stand it. I won't tolerate it. And you just don't see. I mean, I talked to Pastor Lon about a lot of this stuff. We used to talk a lot more back for a while there. That's why both of us resonated with that shirt, Make Men Men Again. Because honestly, there's a whole lot of guys out there that can tell you every football score, can tell you, you know, you got a troubled kid who may be suicidal, but you won't read a book showing you how to deal with that kid. But, oh, you'll read all kind of trade publications to figure out what your next truck's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you tell me that's a real man? That ain't no man in my book. All right, y'all, don't mean to go out so dark, but hey, like I said, just get some of that Hickory Ridge soap and send it to all your beta male friends out there. Until next time, y'all stay alert.
Stay alive.
SS3. Woo! They want to push me to the center like a cell. They want to spin up at the center of the nexus. Me. Yeah, yeah.